Boker Tov. We're now beginning the fourth and final chapter of Masechet Ta'anit. And as we've had in the second and third chapters, the entire chapter of Mishnayot is presented before any analysis of the Gemara. So something of an introduction is in order. The first three chapters of Masechet Ta'anit have all dealt with one common theme, albeit with appropriate tangents in each situation. The theme is fasts that are called on account of unexpected and unscheduled events. Chiefly, the rainy season comes and it doesn't rain, and then secondarily, if it starts raining and ceases raining, or other tragedies, blight, wild animals, soldiers coming through, etc., call for different levels of fasts, different senses of emergency and urgency, etc. The final perek takes us into a different direction, one that is much more familiar to us in practice, on the one hand, and on the other hand, one which is far more unfamiliar to us in practice, and that is the area of ma'amadot. So a quick introduction, which will be covered in partly in Mishnah Bet, and partly in the piece of Gemara that we will see today. But nonetheless, it works as introductory material. The Perek of Mishnayot devotes the first series of Mishnayot to the Ma'amadot, and the second half to Tisha B'Av, briefly to the 17th of Tammuz, chiefly to Tisha B'Av, and the laws surrounding Tisha B'Av, the days in advance of Tisha B'Av, and according to some, even the days that follow Tisha B'Av. And it concludes with a beautiful description of the celebration of Tu B'Av and of Yom Kippurim, and with a tefillah that the Beit HaMikdash, that the mourning explicated in this parak relates to, in several ways, should be speedily rebuilt. The introduction to Ma'amadot. As we have seen numerous times, the Kohanim who come to Yerushalayim come on a rotation basis of Mishmarot. There are 24 Mishmarot. We will see the source of that division in our Gemara. And these 24 Mishmarot, each one of them arrives on Friday, and then in the middle of the Avodah and Shabbat, takes over from the previous week's Mishmar. Each Mishmar has a Beit Av, and each Beit Av has a day of their Avodah. They remain through Sunday. They relinquish the Avodah in the middle of Shabbat, and on Sunday they go home. There are not only, though, Mishmarot of Kohanim, there are also Mishmarot of Levi'im, doing the same thing, coming to do the work of the Levi'im, the support staff, as it were, of the Kohanim. And, perhaps surprisingly, there are also Mishmarot of Yisraelim. Now, the difference between the Kohanim Levi'im and the Yisraelim is that the Kohanim and Levi'im, all of them are drafted, as opposed to Yisraelim, that only those who are particularly pious and who volunteer their time are drafted for this job of having a Mishmar. They are also divided, so every Kohanic Mishmar has its attendant Levi Mishmar and its attendant Yisraeli Mishmar, and they would all go up the same week, so evidently they knew each other. They would get to know each other. But unlike the Kohanim, the Yisraelim did not necessarily have a Beit Av. The whole Mishmar was on for the whole week. However, the Mishmar went a little bit differently. The Kohanim and Levim, of course, had to go to the Beit HaMikdash. The Yisraelim were effectively present to be involved with the Korban and to dedicate their time to sort of focus on the issues of, shall we say, attendant Avodah or extended Avodah. As a result of that, those Yisraelim who lived far away from Yerushalayim had the option. What they did was to go into the nearby city and spend the week in the city, and they would fast, and they would say special tefillot, and they would have special kriyat ha-Torah during that entire week. So that is what we're going to read about in the course of our parak. Now, one small introduction so that we can understand the context from where Mishnah Aleph comes from, is there is a mitzvah min ha-Torah for the Kohanim to bless the people. It's not at all clear from the text itself what the context of that bracha is, meaning how often, But the way that it is understood is essentially every time, either once a day or else every time that there is a gathering of tefillah, that the Kohanim should bless the people with the bracha yivarechecha, etc., as explicated at the very end of the sixth chapter of the book of Bamidbar. That location will become significant immediately in the Gemara. The Kohanim do Birchat Kohanim only during the daytime, as it replicates the Avodah in the Beit HaMikdash. Therefore, there's never Birchat Kohanim at night. However, the Kohanim must not do Birchat Kohanim if they have had wine to drink, because as we saw in the case of Nadav and Abihu, or in the aftermath of the death of Nadav and Abihu, a Kohen who does Avodah while drunk is Chayav Mitah. And therefore, since the Birchat Kohanim is somewhat of an associative Avodah to the Avodah in the Beit HaMikdash, therefore he's not allowed to do Birchat Kohanim when he's drunk. Therefore, the practice is to do Birchat Kohanim at any tefillah in the day before anybody would have eaten. So therefore, generally, we do Birchat Kohanim in Shacharit, and if there's a tefillat Musaf, we do it in tefillat Musaf. But we do not have a Birchat Kohanim in tefillat Mincha, because that's after people have already eaten, and the concern is that they will have had some wine. Question is, what happens with tefillat Mincha on a fast day? And in addition, because there were Ta'aniyot Sibur in Eretz Yisrael, unlike what we have, there would be a tefillat Ni'ilah, a tefillah at the end of the day, at the time of closing the gates of the Hechal, tefillat Ni'ilat Sharim. What about, at that point, saying Birchat Kohanim? So the Mishnah establishes as follows. Yishlosha Prakim Bashana, there are three points during the year. Kohanim Nosim Kapem Arba Pamim Biyom. The Kohanim would do Birchat Kohanim four times a day. We will see that this is not a consensus. B'shachrit, b'musaf, mincha, u'v'nalat sharim. You could theoretically have Birchat Kohanim at all four of those tefillot during three times during the year. B'ta'aniyot, fast days, in which case you have to ask, what's the musaf of on a fast day? U'v'ma'amadot, that's the special prayers of the ma'amadot, because as I mentioned, the Israelim would be fasting during that time. And the people were participating in the Mamadot. So therefore, if there were Kohanim there, they could indeed do Birchat Kohanim. Uvi Yom HaKippurim, which is fairly easy. Good. The next Mishnah describes what the Mamadot are. Elohim Mamadot. The Torah commands us to bring a Korban Tamid. There are some who learn the Chiyuv of Mamadot from the fact that it says, Tishmeru lahakrivli, you shall guard it. So that means you have to be present. But others just say that all that the Pasuk does is introduce the fact that there's a Korban Tamid, which means it belongs to me and it belongs to you and it belongs to all of us. How could you possibly bring a Korban and you're not standing there and participating? So here's what happened. The early Nevi'im, we don't yet know who they are, we will find out in the Gemara, broke up Am Yisrael into 24 Mishmarot. So everyone, there was a group of Kohanim, a group of Levim, and a group of Yisraelim who would go up to Yerushalayim. When it was time to go, Kohanim Levim olim Yerushalayim. So they, Kohanim Levim, go up to Yerushalayim. Now this is the other option. The Yisraelim who do not live near Yerushalayim, the mission is a little bit incomplete, they would go into their local cities, v'korin u'masev reshit. And they would have a Kriyat HaTorah every day during the Mishmar. The reading would be issues relating to Maaseh Bereshit, or they'd be reading through the first chapter of Bereshit. And they would fast, the Ma'amad would fast 4 days during that week, Miyom Sheni V'Yom Chamishi, meaning all day Monday, all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday, all day Thursday. They wouldn't fast on Friday, Nechvod Shabbat, to lack of Kvod Shabbat, to fast on Friday. You don't have enough ability to concentrate properly on getting ready for Shabbat, then you're in a possibly a foul mood. And they did not have a fast on Sunday, to going from the festive excitement and satiation of Shabbat into the fasting and deprivation of Ta'anit, with the concern that it might injure you or kill you. Now, what was the Torah reading? Bayom Rishon, they would do Bereshit and Vayhi Rakia, meaning the first day of creation, the second day of creation. So, Bashini, Yirakia, Vayikachu, Kavu Amayim. The second day they read, on Monday they read, Monday and Tuesday's creation. Shishi, Kabuamayim, V'yimorot. On Tuesday they read, Tuesday and Wednesday. V'rvi'i, Yimorot, V'shitzuamayim. On Wednesday, they read the creation of the lights on Wednesday, and Shitzuamayim, creation of birds and fish from Thursday. Chamashi, Shitzuamayim, V'totzei Aretz. On Thursday, they read the creation of birds and fish and the creation of animals and man, which is the sixth day. V'shishi, what did they say? Totzei Aretz, the sixth day. V'yayich lo Hashemayim, they read about Shabbat. Now, that's what the readings was. Parsha Gdolah, Korin Ota Bishnoyim. If you had a big parsha, they would have two readers read it. What's a big parsha? We'll see. It's five verses or more, such as the first day of Bereshit. The Ktana, the Yachid. If it's a small one, which we will see is three verses, then one person reads it. Now, Bashachid of Musaf, that's when they read. Uva mincha nichnasim v'korin al piyam v'korin et shema. Mincha, they would come back into the place of the mamad, and they would read the reading ba'al peh, meaning without, not from a text, but orally, by heart. Erev Shabbat v'mincha lo yinchasim. But they would not have a mamad for mincha on Friday. V'mnechvon ha-Shabbat, because they have to be involved in preparing for Shabbat. Now, here's the rule about when ma'amadot are canceled. Kol yom shiyesh bo halel, anytime that you have halel, ein mamad b'shachrit. So, for instance, there'd be no mamad b'shachrit during the entire week of Chanukah. Right? Korban musaf ein b'ni'ilah. So that means in the morning, relating to the morning korban, there was no gathering. The gathering would all be in the afternoon. If it was a day in which there was a korban musaf, like Rosh Chodesh, ein b'ni'ilah, then there was no mamad at the end of the day. Korban etzim ein b'mincha. And a day in which korban etzim was brought, and I'll explain that in a moment, there was none at Mincha. Korban Etzim works as follows. When Bnei Yisrael returned to Yerushalayim and they found that there was no wood there, different families volunteered on different dates during the year to bring wood. And what they then committed to, and we're going to see this in the Gemara, I believe tomorrow, what they then committed to was every year on that day we will bring an offering of wood. There was clearly not enough wood from what they brought up to satisfy what the Mizbeach needed. But these are particular days during the year, as we'll see the calendar in a moment, at which these gifts were given. Those were special days, somewhat festive days, and therefore there was no mamad b'mincha on a day that was a day of korban etzim. So theoretically, if you had a day of halel, in which it was also a Rosh Chodesh, which you do have, which is Rosh Chodesh Tevet, and if that happened to be the day of a korban etzim, then you would not have any mamad at all. We'll see that in a moment. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. So Bekiva's understanding is that if there's a musaf, it cancels ni'ilah, and if there's etzim, it cancels mincha. Amar lo ben azai, kacha yor b'shua shoneh. Our teacher, Rabbi Yeshua, has taught it differently. Koren musaf ein b'mincha, koren etzim ein b'ni'ilah. He switched it. Chazar Rabbi Akiva liot shoneh k'ben azai. And Rabbi Akiva changed his mind, and he accepted this reading. So the korban etzim cancels out ni'ilah, and the tefillat musaf cancels out mincha. Good. Now, let's hear the schedule of the Atzei Kohanim. Zman Atzei Kohanim v'am tisha, there's 9 dates. Echad b'nisan, the first day of Nisan, b'nei arach ben Yehuda. B'esrim b'tammuz, so that's now going through 2.5 months, 3.5 months, without another offering. B'nei David ben Yehuda. B'chamisha ba'av, b'nei paroosh ben Yehuda. B'shiv'ah bo b'nei Yonadav ben Recha. B'asarah bo b'nei Sana ben Binyamin. Suddenly you see several days in a row where they're brought. B'chamishasar bo, on the 15th of Av, which we will get back to at the end of the Mishnah, B'nei Zatu ben Yehuda, V'imahem Kohanim u'levim, B'chomish ta'a b'shifto. Anybody who did not know what Shevet they belonged to would then bring their gift of etzim, of wood, on that day. And then there's two other types that we hear about. U'vnei gonvei eli, u'vnei kotzei k'tziot. The ones who smuggle the cleaver, and the ones who press the figs. We'll have to see what that is. Great story. Great background. Besrim bo, b'nei pachat b'moab ben Yehuda, besrim be'alul, go to the 20th of Elul, b'nei adim ben Yehuda, be'achad b'tevet, now we go all the way to the middle of the winter, the first of Tevet, shavu b'nei parosh shniyah. B'nei parosh had a second date on echad b'tevet, and so therefore, be'achad b'tevet lo hayavu mamad, there was no mamad. Shavu halal, b'korban musaf, b'korban etzim. After all, there was halal because of Chanukah, Korban Musaf because of Rosh Chodesh, and Korban Etzim because of Bnei Parosh, and therefore on that day there was no Mamad at all because all of the possible times got canceled out by different events. That is the issue of the Mamad, and to sum up what we have seen, The Ma'amadot were established in order to have Yisraelim participating sort of at the same time as the Kohanim doing the Avodah, and the Ma'amadot were established both for Yisraelim who would come up to the Azarah and Yisraelim in their own cities during their week for special readings that they would have. But in addition to that, the Ma'amadot were not fulfilled every day depending on what the nature of the festivity of the day is. And sometimes part of the Ma'amad would be canceled depending on what sort of day. And we came up with one day in the year in which there was no Ma'amad at all because every one of the slots was taken by some event that coincidentally all fell on the same day, which is the first day of Tevet. Good. Now we move to Tisha B'Av. Chamisha Dvarim Iru Atavotenu B'Shivra Asar B'Tamuz V'Chamisha B'Tisha B'Av. There's five terrible things that befell our ancestors on the 17th of Tammuz and another five on Tisha B'Av. B'Shivra Asar B'Tamuz, what happened on the 17th of Tammuz? Nishtabru HaLuchot. The tablets were broken. According to the traditional chronology, Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai on the 17th of Tammuz and broke the Luchot. Uvatel HaTamid. This is in the second temple that the city was surrounded, and we were not able to offer up the korban tamid. V'hufka'a ha'ir, and the city walls were breached. Saraf apostomos et ha'torah, a particular apostomos, we don't know which one he is. It's a fairly common name. Had a public burning of the Torah. V'hamid sala b'heichal. One Gerset says v'hamid, which means the same apostomos set up an idol in the temple. The other version is v'hu amad, means it was set up, meaning it doesn't say who set it up, but an idol was set up in the temple. Those are all things that happened on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz at different years in history. But Tisha B'Av nigzal otenu shelo yikatzu la'aretz. On Tisha B'Av, we predate it. We go back to the decree that God had against the Bnei Yisrael that they cannot go straight into the land, but rather are going to have to die out in the desert, what we commonly refer to as Chet HaMeraglim. That decree was on Tisha B'Av. The rabbis say, and we'll see it in our Gemara in a few days, that the scouts came back and the people cried on that night, and God said, "You cry for nothing. I will make this night a night of crying forever." Bechiyal adorot. V'charei v'abayit b'rishonah v'shaniyah. Both the first and second temples were destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Famously, the second temple the destruction was begun on Tisha B'Av, but continued through the next day, at least. V'malkada Beitar, the fortress at Beitar, which was the central base for the Bar Kokhba rebellion, was destroyed in Tisha B'Av 136. And Nechrasha Ha'ir, the city of Yerushalayim, was plowed under. No remains were left. Mishenichlas Av ma'atim b'simcha. The halacha is that from the time that the month of Av begins, we have to minimize our rejoicing. Now, that does not say that we suddenly change our mood and our behavior after Tisha B'Av is over. It seems to say the whole month is like that. We will see there is an opinion of that sort. Shabbat shechal liyot Tisha B'Av liyot b'tocha. The week of Tisha B'Av, meaning if Tisha B'Av is on a Tuesday, so starting on that Sunday, asur min saper l'chabes. You're not allowed to take haircuts, do laundry. L'chamishim utar min kvod haShabbat. And on Thursday of that week, you're allowed to because of Kovod Shabbos. Now, what does this mean? Rashi says that this means that we're talking about a case where Tisha B'Av would fall out on a Friday. So the whole week you can't do these things, but Thursday, which is Erev Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to. There are others who say, no, this is addressing itself to the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, who says that the entire week is Asur, even after Tisha B'Av, but in every case, Thursday is Mutter because of COVID Shabbos. Erev Tisha B'Av, what about the day before Tisha B'Av? Lo yochol adam shnei tavshilin. You're not allowed to have a meal that has two cooked items on it, which is the sign of a proper meal. Lo yochol basar v'lo yishtei yayin. You also can't eat meat or drink wine. Unclear if that's avelut or specific association with the reaction of many to the Churban, as recorded at the end of the third parak of Bava Batra, that after the destruction, there were people who wanted to stop eating meat and drinking wine because how can we drink wine when the wine that was offered on the Mizbeach is no longer being offered, etc. So it's unclear here. Perhaps we will get clarity later. Rishon Gamliel Omer Yishanet. Rishon Gamliel says you should do things different. The Gemara will explain what that means. There was a tradition in the times of the Tanaim that when somebody was mourning, they would turn their bed over. That tradition has long fallen by the wayside, but Rabbi Yehuda insisted on doing that same thing for Tisha B'Av, or for the 9 days, or for, shall we say more properly, for the week of Tisha B'Av. V'lo du lo chachamim. His colleagues did not accept it. And now with the final Mishnah, we end on a bright note. There were never festive days such as the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur. All the girls of Yerushalayim would go out with borrowed white garments. They made sure to borrow from each other so nobody would be embarrassed about the fact that she didn't have nice clothes. On the other hand, all the kelim, all these clothes have to be put in the mikveh because you don't know who you're borrowing from. You don't know how careful they are about tumah v'tahara. They would go out and dance in circle dances in the vineyards. What would they say? Bachor, sanai necho rei ma'ata borer lach. In other words, the boys would be standing around, the eligible boys would be standing around, looking at these girls, trying to pick out a bride. See which one you want to pick. Al titin enecha banoi, don't look at the beauty. Tein enecha mishpacha, look at the yichas, look at the family. And then they quote these two psukim from Mishlei. Sheker achen vehevel hayofi, shayirat adonai hititilal. Beauty is vain, it's the woman who fears God should be praised. Her, the fruit of her labor is be your praise, etc. And to support, and really to support the inclusion of Yom Kippur here, because it's all describing the Tu B'Av vineyard festival. So midrashically, we understand that mentions of Melech Shlomo in Shir Hashirim are really mentions of God. So go out and see the King of Shlomo and the crown that his mother made for him on his wedding day. What is the wedding day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We say, Yom Chatunato Zematan Torah. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forgiven Bnei Israel, which is on Yom Kippur, and gives us the Luchot Shniyot, and a sign that we are reunited. Yom Simchat Libo, what's that? Zeh Binyan Beit HaMikdash Yivaneh B'mher Av Yameinu. Oh, so it's a very beautiful ending to the Masechet. Good, so the Gemara immediately is bothered by the wording of the opening Mishnah. As I mentioned earlier, there is no Musaf at Tanit and Ma'amadot. So why are you saying there are three times a year where the Kohanim do Birchat Kohanim four times a day, Shachrit Musaf, Mincha, Ne'ilah, and the two are Tanit and Ma'amadot and Yom Kippur? Well, Yom Kippur is the only one of those three that ever has a Musaf. All right, so the answer is Chasuri Me'achsor Vachitani. We have to reformulate the Mishnah. Should read like this. There's three times a year that the Kohanim do Birchat Kohanim whenever we're dominating. So they have four different possible times during the day. Shachrit, Musaf, Mincha, Nilat, Sharim. Of course, anything but Yom Kippur will not have the Musaf. Those are the 3 days in which we maximize Birchat Kohanim, meaning any time that there is a that there is tefillah, there's Birchat Kohanim. This entire shita is Rav Meir's, who says the Kohanim could do Birchat Kohanim in the afternoon on a fast day. Chachamim disagree and say that you do not do Birchat Kohanim after Musaf in any case, eating or not eating. So man chachamim, who are these chachamim? Rabbi Yehuda, he... The Tanya, Shachrit, Musaf, Mincha, Nilah, Yehulayim, Shpen, Nisir, Kapayim, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Shachrit, Musaf, Shpen, Nisir, Kapayim, Mincha, Nilah, Yehulayim, Nisir, Kapayim. So which opinion is it that says any time after Musaf, doesn't matter what you've done or what you haven't done, there's no Birchat Kohanim? That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Nilah, Yehulayim, Shpen, Nisir, Kapayim, Mincha, Ein, Nisir, Kapayim. Rabbi Yossi splits the difference and says, Mincha, I will agree that there is no Nisir, Kapayim, but Nilah, there is. Which is a little bit strange because Nilah is later. We'll understand why in a moment. So what's the disagreement about? Rameyer Savar, Kol Yoma, Tama Milo Parshi, Parsi Kohani Yadayu Minchata. How come the Kohanim don't do Birchat Kohanim every other day at Mincha on a regular day? Mishum Shikrut, because of the concern about being drunk. So Hayidna Leka Shikrut. So Rameyer says, there's nothing to be drunk about. No, you're not eating, it's a fast day, and therefore there's no concern, and therefore they should do Birchat Kohanim. Hira Savar, Shachrit Musaf, Kol Yoma Lo Shikrut. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shachri de Musaf, there's never shichrut then, because you never eat before that. Well, Gazra Rabbanim, they didn't make a gzera. Mincho ne'ila, the choyoma shchicha shichrut, after all, on most days, by that time of day, you've already had something to eat and some wine. Therefore, Gazra Rabbanim, the Rabbanim made a gzera and said, you can't do birchat kohanim now, in any circumstance. Rabbi Yossi Savra Mincha de'itha b'chol yoma Gazra Rabbanim. Mincha, which exists every day, which you daven every day, so they made a gzera. Because after all, you come to Mincha, and if you start saying Berchat Kohanim, Mincha on a Tanit, you're going to make the mistake of doing it the next day, not on a Tanit. Ni'ilo, the late of a whole yom, the goes over Abonin. Ni'ilo, which comes much more infrequently, they didn't make the gzera. But there's another point, which is that anytime you're saying Ni'ilo, you're fasting. So if you said, ooh, we said it at Ni'ilo last week, we'll say it again, well, that's okay, because now it's fast again also. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Marav Halacha, Rabbi Meir. So now we get to the ruling. How do we rule? Like Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. So there's Halacha, Rabbi Meir, which means we do Berchat Kohanim at all the times. Yochanan Amar, Nahagu Ha'am, Rabbi Meir. Slight variation. The people do like Rabbi Meir. Rav Amar Minhag, Rabbi Meir. Rav said the custom is like Rabbi Meir. Now, Mandam Halacha, Rabbi Meir. Let's figure out what the difference between the nomenclature is. What does Halacha, Rabbi Meir mean? Darshinan Lava Pirka. We publicly teach that opinion. Mandam Arminag, the one who says the minag is Rav Meir, so Midrash Lo Darshin, we don't publicize it. Uriyim Arina, but we do rule it, and if somebody comes and asks, we say, yes, you should do Birchat Kohanim. Mandam Arminag, Nahagu, and they say Nahagu, Uriyim Arina, we don't answer it as a psak. Yavir Avi Vil Madrin Lay, but if he does it, so we don't say you did a wrong thing, we let him continue. Right? Now, Rav Nachman Amar, Halacha Rav Yossi, Rav Nachman disagreed and said, Halacha is Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi, if you recall, said, you say, it's Birchat Kohanim at Shachrit, at Musaf, and at Ni'ila, but not at Mincha. But Halacha Rav Yossi. So that is the Halacha. Ay, va'idna my time a Parsi Kohani Adayu Minchata de Tanita. So how come the Kohanim in our day do Birchat Kohanim at Mincha of a fast day? By the way, we do that in our practice. Generally, the custom is that we just say the Barchenu B'Bracha M'Shuleshet. But we do mention Birchat Kohanim at Mincha of a fast day. The answer is came on the Besomach Lashkia Tachama Kaparsi, since they generally do Birchat Kohanim at the end of the day, Minchas at the end of the day, Kitfila Ni'ilah Damya. It's more like, it looks like more like Ni'ilah. So therefore, we sort of copy Ni'ilah according to the Pesach of Yossi and do Birchat Kohanim then. Okay, we continue on. The Chuliyah Miat Shikor Asur B'Nesiat Kapayim. Minahani Mili. So everybody agrees that somebody who's Shikor is not allowed to do nisiyat kapayim. So what's the source of this? You take a look on the page, you can see that in verse, I think it's verse 3, you can see that I put together several verses. There it is. It's verse 4. You see that right after the mitzvah of Nazir, immediately after that, we are commanded about Birchat Kohanim. And so, why are the two next to each other? Lomar man Nazir asur b'yayin, af kohen mevarech asur b'yayin. To teach you that just like a Nazir is not allowed to drink wine, so a Kohen giving a bracha is not allowed to drink wine. We have a challenge against that. If you're going to make the comparison, go all the way. And say, just like a Nazir is not allowed to eat a grape, a Kohen is not allowed to eat a grape. This is a pasuk I left off the page. But the Torah commands us to allow any Kohen who wants to join in, it's in Dvarim, Perek Yud Chet, to join in because Hashem chose them l'sharto ulevarech b'shmo, to serve him and to bless in his name. So those two are compared. Mam sharet mutar b'chatzan afkon mevarech mutar b'chatzan. Just like one who serves in the mikdash is allowed to eat a grape, similarly one who's doing berchat kohanim is allowed to eat a grape. Imam sharet bal mumlo afkon mevarech bal mumlo. So according to that, if you're going to say that the kohen working in the mikdash is the model for the kohen giving a bracha, then a Kohen working in the Beit HaMikdash is not allowed to be a Malmum, he's not allowed to be disfigured. The same should apply then to a Kohen giving a bracha. No, ha'id kash lo nazir, no, he's compared to a Nazir. So in a Nazir, there is no such thing as a Malmum. So, which means, essentially, The Kohen Mevarech is compared to a Nazir and he's compared to a Kohen Mesharet, and we're pulling always the more lenient position to make it work. So the answer is, Asmachta Ninhu Min Rabbanan. Truth is, all of these laws are Rabbanan. It's an Asmachta, which means we're looking for Psukim to sort of associate with Ula Kula. And therefore, because the entire ruling is Rabbanan, therefore we go in a lenient direction, say, okay, what's the leniency of a Nazir? He can be disfigured. What's the leniency of a Kohen Mesharet? He can eat a rake, he can eat a grape. And therefore, that's what we apply to the Kohen HaMevarech. Good. Elen Amadol, Jamatav in Israel, my Kamar, the Gemara wants to know what the lesson of the Mishnah, how is it putting together an obligation of Mamadot from the Pasuk in Bamidbar Chavchet. Hachi Kamar, Elohim Ma'amadot, these are Ma'amadot. Umatam Tiknu Ma'amadot. That's what's missing from the Mishnah. Why did they establish Ma'amadot? The Fishna Matzav Ne'isor Matalim Korbani Lach Minishai. Ve'ach Korbano Shal Adam Karevu Eino Omer Gabav. How can a person's Korban be brought and he's not standing there? Kinu Revim Rishonim Asrim Ve'arba'a Mishmarot. So they made 24 Mishmarot. Of Kohanim Levim Yisraelim. Akol Mishmar Mishmar Yam Mamad Yerushalayim Shal Kohanim Shal Levim Shal Yisraelim. So they had a Mamad in Yerushalayim. Yazman Mishmar Lelot, when it was time to make Aliyah out of the city. Kohanim Levim Olim Yerushalayim. The Kohanim Levim go up to Yerushalayim. And the Yisraelim stay home. Except, of course, for those Yisraelim who live in Yerushalayim or in Yerushalayim who go up to the Mikdash. Tanu Rabbanan. Asrim Ve'arba'a Mishmar Be'eretz Yisrael. Ushtem Asrei Biricho. There's another 12 in Yericho. That doesn't work. Shtemas or Biricho, and official Lutuba. Now you have 36 Mishmarot. Ela Shtemas or Mehen Biricho. 12 of the 24 stay in Yericho. Yazmana Mishmar Lolot, when it was time to go up, Chatzia Mishmar Yaolemi, Eretz Yisrael Yushalayim, Chatzia Mishmar Yaolemi Yericho. In other words, they would then come up from Yericho. Kadeshi Sapkumayim Mazon Lachem Shib Yushalayim. They would then be the ones who would give food to the other members of the Mishmar in Yushalayim. He said the presence of Kohanim Levim and Yisraelim can invalidate the Korban if they're not there. We have a brayta that says Kohanim Levim and also the instruments are ma'akim at the Korban. So my kamipalgi, why in the first version, which is Shmuel, did he not mention the klei shir? The answer is Marsavar Ikar Shir of Apesh. Shmuel holds that the main shir of the Levim was the singing, and the instruments were just an accompaniment. And therefore, if there are no instruments, it doesn't invalidate the Korban. Marsavar Ikar Shir of Akli is a famous machloket in Arachim, and that is that the main shira is with the instrument, and therefore, without the instrument, the Levim have not done their job of shira and invalidates the Korban. Everybody should have a wonderful day, and Mirza Hashem, we will pick up from this point tomorrow.